Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Wayne Klingman with Milwaukee Mab, coming to you from our location, which is at the bottom of Aces 8's bar in the unknown location in Racine, Wisconsin area. We bring you the famous, good-looking Mr. Nate, who himself is calling in from unknown location, an unknown time, and an unknown space. Yes, we have with us today himself, Nate Hill, a man of all great things, a combination of, as we know, James Benn, Austin Powers, and Robert and Roger Rabbit. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You?
I'm doing fantastic. Our 17 inches of snow we got this week has finally started to melt.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that you're breaking up a little.
It's okay. We got 17 inches of snow in a blizzard, and it's finally started to melt.
Yeah, I'm seeing snow out my window, too, wherever that might be.
Whatever it might be, right. And whatever dimension you might be in. Absolutely, we hear that one. Now, let me ask you this question, sir. What got you started in doing your podcast?
Actually, this kind of thing kind of brewing for a while. I mean, I've been a big podcast fan. I've listened to them all the time when I'm sitting there working. And, I listen to a lot of things like True Crime Garage is a favorite of mine. Lore is a huge favorite of mine. And as I got to listening more and more, I started thinking, maybe this is something I can get myself into. And I noticed there was a certain format, like Lore, like a show called The Memory Palace, which is brilliant, that we would have a narrator kind of who sits there and tells the story, and there'd be mood music in the background. I thought, that kind of sounds like something that I might be able to do as well. And from there, I got to decide what I was going to do the show about. When I was a kid, one of my favorite shows growing up was the show In Search Of. I don't know if you know it. It was hosted by Leonard Nimoy, where he'd always talk about different mysteries of the week. Yeah. So I thought, maybe I can somehow incorporate that into the podcast format. And, there we go.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of In Search Of, as a child, I used to watch them, those shows, and a lot of them would motivate me to go to the library to learn more about that subject.
Yeah, exactly. Same here. Back then, it's a show used to scare the heck out of me, but at the same time, I'd want to know more. There'd be an episode on Bigfoot, on Amelia Earhart, all sorts on Jimmy Hoffa disappearing. So I'd want to go out and I'd want to find out more and more about it. And that was actually one of the things I was really big into. When I was a kid, my mom used to indulge me a lot, and she'd buy me a lot of like books on mysteries. And I remember one she brought home, she probably didn't look at it first, and she probably shouldn't have given it to me. But I remember it was a collection of true unsolved murder cases, in which case there were things like there were stories in it about the Black Dahlia in there and Jack the Ripper. And it was like, I was hooked from a very young age.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the best thing my father did for me was teach me how to read. And he would take me to the library, and he'd let me just cruise in the books as much as I wanted to bring home. He's always encouraged me to read more. And then when TV shows, as we discussed, In Search Of and others, we're on. It's like, Dad, let's go to the library because I want to know more about whatever, and it'll give my father and I something to bond on. Does that make any sense?
Well, it makes some sense there. For me, I had a little bit of more of a quieter lifestyle. I didn't have a lot of friends growing up and whatnot. So, I was a voracious reader. I'd read for hours, and things that seemed to attract me were, of course, a lot of the mystery stuff like that. I'd also really got into Stephen King at an early age. I read a ton of horror fiction. I still do actually watch a ton of horror movies. I'm just really into that kind of thing. So, but yeah, it was really helpful. And I don't know if it helped me develop. Obviously reading's fantastic for for any reason, but I mean, it was just something that's always attracted me, this kind of the ideas of mysteries and, you know, very dark stories, which I try to relate in my own podcast.
Yes, sir. And you do a remarkably well job of it. When your show is finally downloaded on iTunes, I go upstairs to my office, I close and lock the door.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, interesting, too, is I'm going to be talking a lot to my father because he's coming up to my mind when I speak of these subjects. Is one thing he also said, which you also do well, is you pique an interest, as we discussed, right? And my father used to say, there's always more to the story than you might know. It's always great to read on it yourself so you know what's going on versus what other people want you to know, which I find to be very true anymore is what we're told is often not the truth.
That's actually true. I mean, there's often, you know, much more to the story. And I, you know, I always try to go find as many sources as possible and come at it and try to gather as much information, at which point I distill it down. But, yeah, as you say, there's always more to the story. I did an episode recently on surrounding Abraham Lincoln's assassination. Now, obviously, we all know the story of Abraham Lincoln. He got shot at Ford's Theater by John Wilkes Booth. But when I dug further in, I started finding out that there were all these people in the box with him that day that each had their own interesting story that kind of branched off. Like, there was this Army major who was in the box with him, sitting right next to him. He actually tried to stop Booth, but that man there, he ended up getting stabbed for his troubles. And anyway, it affected him deeply. And much later in life, this guy, he actually went crazy. He ended up murdering his wife and tried to murder his children. And again, it was this really horrible and tragic story. But it's the kind of thing you're never going to hear about in your history class or reading most history books. But it really happened.
Right. And the idea that has an influence, that events have an influence, right? And I'm going to reference a book, which I would highly recommend to everybody, called Spooks, written by Jim Hogan, H-O-U-J-N, where he talks about the use of private intelligence, it's private eyes, over time. He starts in 1960, and he goes to about 1980-something. What's fascinating is something I didn't know about. It was the CBS Wars, where the CBS and television network paid anti-Castro guerrillas money to raid Cuba so they could cover it.
See, that's pretty fascinating right there, and actually sounds like it would be a good episode.
It's fascinating, absolutely. And what I love about this book, unlike so many others, it's footnoted, right? So you don't want to believe the story. You can go to a footnote and say, you know, read a footnote, you can check that source and see, is that source confirmed what this guy is saying, or is it something completely different? And that opens up the doors. If CBS was doing that stuff then, and we all know about the downfall of Van Rather, what has CBS done over the years that we don't know about?
That's a great question. Like saying, when I tell stories in my podcast there, I'll try to differentiate between the things that can be confirmed and that which can't be. And I'll always try to mention that, yeah, this story is unconfirmed, or there have been rumors about this story. I'll also sometimes weave in, like, folklore of the era and whatnot. So, but, I mean, I try to differentiate it to let people know that, yeah, there are certain things that are actual proven facts and other things that are not. For example, I just did an episode on what's been called the Bennington Triangle. It's this area in Vermont which, back there between 1945 and 1950, five people mysteriously vanished without four of them without a trace. They did find one of the other victims' bodies at a later date, but even that was strange because they found it in her body in an area that had already been previously searched, and she wasn't there before. Now, I say all these things, and I give the facts of those things, but then at the same time, I try to weave in, there have been things like things like some Native American legends about curses in the area there. Of course, there are plenty of Bigfoot stories being the wilderness. And I weave all this together, and I try to give a full picture of the story.
Absolutely. I think I like that sort of thing. A pet peeve of mine, and there's a TV network, I can't think of any of it, when the off-TV networks that you get hit on your cable, is they do a ghost story all the time, and they have experts, let's quote their own experts, and they always find a cursed item the guy already, you know, some mysterious thing. And I'm no expert, I'm not, right? But I have a little bit of background. It really bothers me when they lie, you know.
Yeah,
when
I agree. I've seen the shows like that. I've seen the Ancient Alien shows. I've seen plenty of the Ghost Hunter shows. And for most part, I try to avoid a lot of the supernatural stuff in my own podcast. I will mention it if it's there and if it's relevant, and like in the Bennington Triangle episode there. But, I mean, I just try to stick to the facts as much as I can. Because, I mean, there's so many fantastic stories that are just, well, downright creepy from history that you don't really need the embellishment a lot of times.
No, right. I mean, if it's a perfectly good story, you don't need to step on it, right? Let the story be the story, right? Are you familiar with the podcast? I apologize. I keep talking over you. I feel so bad. I'll punish myself.
No. Yeah, I'm talking. No, that's fine.
Are you familiar with the podcast called You Must Remember This?
I am. It's a really good show, actually. I like it a lot.
Yes, it is. Have you heard the what I call the Manson arc, which talks about the story of Charles Manson?
No, I haven't heard that episode yet. I probably should, though, considering.
You should. And it's 4 episodes. And not only, and it tells the tale of Charles Manson and his wife, how he interacts with those poor girls, and also how he interacts with other people, right?
Yeah.
And so after, I discovered that one after I discovered the show, and I listened to them over the course of one day. Well, by the end of the night, when I listen to those shows, we got Last Commandments. I have my dogs upstairs, right? I got all the doors locked, right? Because it's a scary show. And she doesn't have to embezzle any of it. It's all true. It's wild. It is wild.
Yes.
Now, I got to ask you this question. I have to. And then, of course, we always sometimes find out, because Amelia Earhart's been missing for God only knows how long, right? A long time. And we keep getting teased in the media that they found more evidence that she's here, she's there. To your knowledge, because you're more read up on this than I am, for sure, have they come to a conclusion yet what happened with her?
No. And they probably, and honestly, it's one of those mysteries, like, there's one of those mysteries like JFK or Jack Ripper. You're probably not going to know 100% for sure. There is an island, though, I know they're in the South Pacific, where they have found, I remember they had found, like, I believe it was part of a woman's thigh bone. They'd found a woman's compact on the island, and they found other evidence that they'd excavated that, you know, seemed to indicate that, yeah, this might have been her resting place. There's a pretty, from what I've read, and again, I haven't done a ton of research yet, but that this might be her final resting place. But again, I think it's one of these, there are certain mysteries throughout history which become so popular and so well written about, and everybody has a theory on it, everybody's written a story on it, that unfortunately, what ends up happening is the waters get so muddied, you're probably not going to know. I mean, everybody has a theory on who Jack the Ripper was. Everybody has a theory on who killed JFK. So, and as it were, I mean, and some of them are pretty plausible. Some of them aren't. In case of JFK, there's actually a really good book by a guy named Gerald Posner called Case Closed, which actually lays out an excellent story claiming that it was Oswald acting alone. But at the same time, I've read plenty of other stories which point out all kinds of other discrepancies and, you know, make pretty compelling cases otherwise. So, but like in the case of Amelia Earhart, yeah, I mean, you can make some pretty strong suppositions and you can make some pretty strong guesses based on everything people have found. But, yeah, I don't think we're ever going to know for sure.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's always interesting to see how things go. And same thing with JFK. We'll probably never know what really happened. But the assassination of JFK definitely changed the course of this country.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
So I think that's why people are very, very curious. I can understand that. Are you familiar with a book called Secret Agenda?
Secret Agenda. It sounds familiar.
Watergate.
I actually read that's Watergate book? No, don't. Guess not then. Haven't read that one.
Well, interesting. Watergate, Secret Agenda is a book by the same author of Spooks, Jim Holguin. And in it, he looks at Watergate and he looks at the reporters. He talks about one of the reporters having links to naval intelligence, which I did not know, and how that interacted as his career as a reporter. Then he looks at the people involved, the burglars. And he has this biggest question he's asked is this. The burglar, McCord, was a trained CIA agent, worked as a field agent for years. He knew if he taped the door open, the security guard would find it and do his job, which is call the police. Yet he taped it open anyway. So therefore, this poses this question, which he cannot answer, is that he did it, did he do so on purpose to make sure they got caught?
Sure, that's a really good question. Unfortunately, like I say, it's one of those questions that we're not going to be able to answer for sure. Yeah.
Right, because I think they're all dead. I think Lee's dead. I know Hunt's dead. I think McCourt's dead. Dean is dead. And he goes on to lays out this case that he thinks that Watergate was not set up by Nixon, but set up by Dean, because Dean's wife was once involved in a call girl ring. And he lays this all out, his facts, and he wanted to know how much the Democrats knew about his wife's background. If that's indeed the truth, it's a very, very interesting take on what really happened with Watergate.
Yeah, it is a really interesting one, and it definitely paints things in an entirely different picture. And that's one of the things I like about some of those stories I find is it managed to change your views of people and change your views on how things are. Like in the Starkweather episode I just did there, when I started doing it there, you know, I got a little bit of a different idea about Caroline Fugate, his girlfriend. And again, there's still questions about her to this day. I mean, whether she was a willing accomplice or there's actually, you know, people who have more recently written trying to paint her as, you know, she was just another victim and that she was a hostage to him the whole time and basically forced along. And I try to lay out in my episode a little bit of both so you can make up your own mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the idea of educating people with the story, letting people come with their own conclusions. I think it's a very, very good idea, and I really appreciate that you do so well. But I rattled about some of my favorite conspiracies. What are some of the different conspiracies that you have an interest in but may not be covering in your show anytime soon?
Some of my favorite conspiracies here. I've always had a fascination with JFK and from there with RFK and as well and you know, the whole assassination, the whole series of assassinations that occurred throughout the 60s, I mean, that all fascinates me to a great deal. I mean, just looking at it as a whole, taking it as a whole, when you look at Martin Luther King, you look at RFK, you look at JFK, I mean, yeah, they could have all been done by single individuals, which it's tragic as it comes. But then when you look together and you see them all together, you think, well, it's a really strange set of coincidences that all these three amazing leaders all died under basically the same circumstance. So,
right.
I mean, that's a big one there. I mean, other ones that have been interested me. I mean, I admit I have had a long time fascination with the idea of with UFOs. Now, do I believe in them? Do I believe they're coming to Earth, et cetera? I don't think the evidence is really there, but I'd certainly be willing to believe it if, you know, the proverbial white UFO landed on the White House lawn. And I know there have been enough compelling videos and enough compelling photographs to make me scratch my head and wonder. I think I'm pretty skeptical of a lot of conspiracies because everything can't be a conspiracy. Every conspiracy can't be right. At the same time, I'm open-minded about it, and I'm definitely willing to be convinced.
Absolutely. I know in my life that, and I too have a big thing of conspiracies, as you well know, sir. In my life, my looking at conspiracies and reading about them have definitely changed my worldview. And that it can be a scary thought.
Well, what are some of your favorites, for example?
Well, I'll tell you the one that changed my worldview, my whole worldview, sir, is back in the day, we're talking the 80s, I ran across a newspaper article that talked about the Iran-Contra deal and the Contras being allowed to smuggle drugs in the city of the United States and make money to fund their war. And I just thought it was, for lack of a better word, bullshit, right?
And it is a true conspiracy, and that's one of the ones that really happened.
That's right. And when you go, when you are a guy, at the time I was in my 30s, you know, so I'm a right-wing kind of a guy, and I dismissed it. Now that I'm older, and I read the book by the original author that I wrote, Wright Webb, Gary Webb book, I think, is Dark Alliance. And you read it, and you read what happened to those people involved, and you read about how different people were started investigating the crimes, how people indicted for horrific drug offenses. What? It makes you, I literally, it made me rethink everything I thought was true might not be.
Yeah. Well, like I say, that's the thing about conspiracy. When you say the word conspiracy theory, obviously, I mean, there's the word that most people come up with is nut. I mean, obviously, it's got this connotation about it of, you know, the guys wearing the tinfoil hats about being crazy. But I think that's an easy way for a lot of people to dismiss things. If something is gets labeled a conspiracy theory or conspiracy, well, people just kind of are able to write it off. But there are different degrees of conspiracy. There are certain things that are, you know, more on the fringes than others. I mean, there are people today that believe that the Earth is still flat. That's a conspiracy. I don't believe it. I think it's kind of crazy. But that gets lumped in with the same thing as Iran-Contra. So Iran-Contra gets on those people are, oh, we're just going to write them off as nuts, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even in our local, I live in Racine, Wisconsin, and we have a group of people who are called conspiracy nuts and worse that have linked our mayor into all kinds of interesting shady deals. But he can simply get by any way with what they're accusing him of by saying they're all crackpot conspiracy fanatics, right? Shuts up conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how people can get out of a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when we live in a society.
Yeah, I was just saying, when people were talking about the NSA being able to spy on all Americans, well, at the time, there were plenty of people calling it a conspiracy. And then, of course, Snowden comes out and reveals, no, actually, that's true.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. And one of the things that first book I referenced Spooks does early on in the book is lay out, and this is, I think, the book was written probably in the 90s. He lays out all the different technologies that exist to allow the government, the CIA, to spy on you from bouncing a laser beam off your windows to using vacant tap conversations in apartment buildings by putting devices in a water tank and reading the sound vibrations.
See, that stuff fascinates me. I mean, I'm a big fan of espionage stories and spy stories, and you know that actually amazes me. There's actually one of the kookier ones I've ever heard, and this is one I probably will using in an episode. But in the 60s, there was a plan, and they actually did it too. They got the idea during the Cold War that they were going to find a way to spy on the Soviet embassy in New York. So what they did, I want to say they spent about $10 million to take a cat. And they took this cat, and they performed surgery on it. And they installed all sorts of electronics up into its belly. They used its tail as an antenna, and they turned this cat into a listening device. So they took this cat, and they decided, okay, after all this money, and they decided they're going to train this thing to go through and be able to walk around freely, because nobody pays attention to a cat walking around, and they're going to let this thing loose onto the embassy grounds. So of course, what happens one day? Of course, the CIA show up in their white van. They've got the cat in there. Pull up across the street from the embassy. They let the thing loose. It immediately gets hit by a taxi and dies.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Incredible.
That was hit. Oh. And they immediately shelved, and they called it the acoustic kitty, and they immediately shelved the whole project right after that. And it was good. I looked at it, like $10 million they spent on this thing.
Yeah. What we do, these things are incredible. We look at them. Look at MK Ultra. You know, how much money did we spend on that, right? Get mind control drugs, right?
There's a great one, by the way. There's a great conspiracy that I love.
You know, they do the MK Ultra. They spend millions. They drug people against their will, right? One person at least dies, if not more. Some of them are seriously affected by the experiments years later. The government spends more time denying that ever happened, right?
Yeah. And, I remember seeing one documentary on it where there was one woman that had been experimented on by a doctor named Dr. Cameron. He was actually the head of like the American Psychiatric Association or something like that. But I remember that he had performed so much electroshock and chemical therapy on her that, yeah, when she came out of there, she had zero memory of anything. I mean, she basically had to relearn everything in her life. She had I mean, her entire mind was gone. And suddenly she had to have them. It was an amazing story. It was like, and apparently that one really happened.
Yeah, that one really happened. And it's tragic. I mean, things in the past we can read about, we can talk about, we can hear about, and like the cat thing, or even MK Ultra, it happened in the past, we can kind of giggle at them because those people are not with us anymore, right? Then, of course, we have things that happened more recently that people are sort of suffering horrifically from. My favorite of those is, of course, the Around Country thing for the different aspects of the drug abuse in their cities, but Agent Orange. You know, because Agent Orange was invented by Monsanto and others. They knew what it was going to do to people, but they allowed that to be used in Vietnam and servicemen, and obviously the enemy, but a lot of the enemy in Vietnam were civilians.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so of course,
more recently, there's obviously people were for Gulf War syndrome. That was people coming back from Gulf War I. They were complaining. Mm-hmm. So again, very similar to Agent Orange people, and it followed the same pattern. You know, soldiers would come back, they'd get very sick, and government would deny, no, there's nothing wrong here.
They say it was mass
hysteria and whatnot. So.
Yeah. All right, I noticed that we started quickly running out of time, and I apologize, the shows go so fast. Where can we find you online? Where is it that we can make sure we get all the information yet you have us to provide for us through your unique location, space, and time?
Well, like I say, you can always subscribe and download our show on iTunes. My website is theconspiratorspodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook, I'm in Instagram, and I'm on Twitter. And like Sam, and I love to interact with my fans, so I hope people will reach out to me. And, I like to chat with them and can swap ideas back and forth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just find this whole world that we are entering in with unique podcasts to be really, really wild. Now, before the little English lady kicks me off the air, let me ask you one last question, sir.
Sure.
If you could solve any conspiracy other than JFK or UFOs, which one would you like to be able to solve for sure, to make sure it was real or not?
I won't say it was a conspiracy, but I would love to know who killed the Black Dahlia. That's probably my number one unsolved mystery. I've always been fascinated by it. I would love to have a definitive, this guy did it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Myself, I'd do Marilyn Monroe. Because I don't know if the brothers did it, or the mafia did it, or just simply a sick, tragic, late woman in Hollywood. Huh, fascinating.
That is a good one.
Well, it is. It's also in spooks, and you'll love to get into it. Anyway, sir, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being part of the show. I owe you a great favor that's calling us, and the boys will take care of any problem that you might have.
Thank you so much. This has been fantastic. I really had fun here.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy talking to you, sir. With that, sir, we'll let you go. Have a great day. Have fun at the other dimensions that you may or may not reside in.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, Phil. What a great guest. It's so much fun. I love it. I apologize for talking. I apologize for talking over here him so much. I get animated in the shells. I do apologize. I owe him. Probably dead. I'm going to have to go and probably send him cocaine beer and see if he needs a cocaine-addicted beer for anything. Anyway, I do thank everybody for listening. It means a lot to guys have me in this. It means a lot to me to have you guys listening to the show. It means a lot for the different indications and support I've received. And with that, I want to wish everybody the best day ever and go out there and have a fantastic day. And watch out for cocaine-addicted bears. Thank you. Bye-bye.